Blog Talk Radio.
The scriptures clearly teach is that we, as believers, should know history. God tells us in passages like Romans 15:4 and Isaiah 43. He tells us also in 1 Corinthians 10 and Hebrews 11 and Psalm 73 and 78 and so many other places. He says to recall the former days, to remember the former times. Throughout the scriptures, we see that when a people remembers their history, they behave differently than when they forget their history. We see that even recovering histories, in the case of Josiah and the temple, leads to a national revival. Or in the case of Esther and Mordecai, the use of history by the king one night kept Mordecai from being hanged on the gallows and thus preserved the nation. So history is huge. God is into it. But in America, we don't do a good job of knowing our own history, and we need to. The scripture says that his people perish for lack of knowledge. We've been taught in America for years that what we're about is economics. We formed this nation because of taxation without representation. We need to know our history better. Taxation without representation does appear in the Declaration of Independence, but it's only one out of 27 issues that appear there. There's also religious issues. There's moral issues. There's so many other things than what we just hear today on economics. We need to go back and see that we were founded in this nation. Four clauses of the Declaration say that they didn't want activist judges. Two clauses say they wanted to end slavery. We have clauses over preserving the right to have Bible societies and other religious exercises. So as Christians, we need to know our history. We don't need to just go with what we've been taught. We ought to go back and read the documents. It's one thing to be taught what the Bible says. It's another thing to read it. So I challenge you. Follow up on what God says in the Scriptures. Know our history. Recall the former days. Let's go back and look at some of the patriots we had that were such strong Christians that are leaders that we don't even hear about today. So I challenge you. Do some research. Go to websites. Look at things that will tell you about your faith history as a Christian. It's important you know that so that you know how to behave today.
Welcome, listeners, to City on a Hill radio show. Thank you for tuning in, and we are just so very grateful for today. What a blessing it is to live in the land of the free. And yesterday was another reminder of how great this nation is. When someone named Christopher Columbus found this new world, what a change, really, for the whole world that was. And we are so happy to speak with another of Italy's best, Luca Bocci, here with us with Tea Party Italy. Hi, Luca.
Oh, my God. That is embarrassing to be compared to Christopher Columbus. Oh, my God.
Well.
Okay, he comes from Genoa. I come from Florence, like Amerigo Vespucci, who was another explorer. So, well, okay, that can work. Thank you so much.
Yes, it is great. Me and Ms. Barr were talking about that, Luca, and we thought, well, you know, what a great lead into that, you know, what the Italians did for us, what Christopher Columbus did for the world. My goodness. And again, God's hand was upon him, and what a blessing it has been for the entire world. And so I'm just going to read a little bit about our friend Luca Bocci. He is the national spokesperson of Tea Party Italia, a coalition of several Italian Tea Party groups that since May 2010 has been working to promote the Tea Party vision of the world with less government, less regulations, and again, as the name says, taxed enough already, less taxes, more freedom and liberty. And Luca, you've been a journalist, that you have worked for several national newspapers, and I cannot pronounce them, so I don't want to even embarrass you with that. But anyway, we are so happy, Luca, that you are here with us. We have come to know you, you know, a few times we've had you on, and it has been such a pleasure for us. And here today also is another Tea Party, leader, Don Wildman. And Don, you corrected me. You are a national coordinator for Tea Party Patriots, and we love you and we thank you for all the time that you give us. It just really, me and Miss Barbara cannot really thank you enough for all the time that you have shared and letting people learn what is definitely going on underneath the news, you know, with Congress and, you have been, let's see, I'll read a little bit about you. You've been on with us every 2 weeks, it seems like, more than that at times. And you are the National Coordinator of Tea Party Patriots, and you are also, the President of the Southern California Tax Revolt Coalition, and that you are the California Coordinator of Tea Party Patriots. But you are a great friend, I know, to one more person that we're going to introduce, and we're so glad to have you on, Don.
Well, thank you. It's always my pleasure to be here, and it's usually the highlight of my week, so I love being here.
Well, we thank you. And Ms. Barbara, I'm going to turn it over to you.
Okay. Thank you, Diana. Today, Diana asked if I would introduce Judge Roy Moore on the program, and I immediately said no. It was probably the first time I've ever told Diana no about anything, and I said I just can't do it adequately. I just can't, you know, I just can't do it. And then I was thinking and praying, and I called, you know, we talked again. I said, oh, I really do have a few things I've got to say about Judge Moore. And I wanted to start by going back to 1995, and I was in the classroom teaching our great American history and our great heroes, George Washington and Patrick Henry and Sam Adams. And when I looked in the newspaper, and there was an article that the ACLU was suing Etowah County, Alabama judge Roy Moore to remove the Ten Commandments plaque from his courtroom and to cease having prayer in his courtroom. And he said no. He said no. And wow. So I began cutting out newspaper clippings and plastering them to my bulletin board. And my students and I were just so inspired by him. And for the first time, not all my heroes were dead. We had a living hero. Not only our eyes were glued to Etowah County and this judge, this courageous judge who stood up and said no to the ACLU and said yes to everything that is right, but the eyes of the world were upon him as well. And we watched and marveled as he stood strong and gained the respect and the admiration and the appreciation of so many, not only in Alabama, but in the United States of America and indeed across the world. And our Judge Roy Moore became the Chief Justice of our Supreme Court here in Alabama. And what a wonderful Chief Justice he was. And again, he stood for what was right, and he acknowledged God, acknowledged our right to acknowledge God as a people, as a nation, as we always have. And he refused to remove that Ten Commandments monument, acknowledging the authority of God over our nation and the moral foundation for all our laws, and was continued to stand strong and was eventually removed for doing what was right. And he continues to inspire people today throughout the world. And Judge Roy Moore, we love you so much, and it's such a pleasure and privilege to have you with us.
Well, thank you, Barbara, and that's a pretty good introduction. I don't deserve that, but it's nice to be with you.
Well, Judge Moore, we just really thank you for everything that you have done. And I was struck when we were talking to Luca. You know, he just really loves the Constitution. And he made the remark that, you know, God must have been working overtime, you know, when that happened, when they, you know, developed that Constitution. And indeed he was. What a blessing. And I thought to myself then, you know, he needs to talk with you, because in my eyes, and probably a lot of people's eyes, there is no one better, really, that can share with us the truth that is in there for us to see. And, you know, they were so, the founders, they were so transparent. They wanted us to learn about this document, you know, unlike the Obamacare that we're still finding out stuff about. And I love what the foundation does, you know, which is they cut through the chase. They know what the Constitution says. When y'all present these cases to the Supreme Court, you don't mess around with the truth. The truth, you know, shines bright. So we're thankful for that, Judge Moore.
Well, thank you. I mean, it is very hard to understand how today we have people trying to undermine the Constitution and say that God has no connection with it, when without the knowledge of God there would be no Constitution. And that's so very obvious from what they said. Throughout, all our forefathers said that, what is, for example, Madison said, what is government itself but the greatest of all reflections on human nature? If men were angels, no government would be necessary. And if angels were to govern men, neither external or internal controls would be necessary. The greatest difficulty in framing a form of government of men over men is this. First, you must enable the government to control the governed, and in the next place, oblige it to control itself. Today, the governments of the world are seemingly out of control because they want more and more power, but that's been the nature of government for centuries. And our forefathers knew that, so they restricted the power of government, and they restricted the human nature of man for that power, that seizure of power, the just estimate of that love of power, and the proneness to abuse it, which predominates in the human heart, is sufficient to satisfy us of the truth of this position, Washington said in his farewell address. He said that we've got to understand that man is all about power. And so what we've got to do in the Constitution is to restrict those powers, and they did so by separating into different branches and checks and balances on each branch, and in the Tenth Amendment, which restricts the power of the federal government as opposed to the states. So it's all about restrictions of power, and it's not complicated. And without an understanding that God is all power and that he didn't give all power to government, without that understanding, there would be no Constitution.
And Judge Moore, you know, as you said, men are not angels. And I hear a lot about, you know, that remark that people say, you know, it's the economy, and then they'll say that, you know, stupid. And I'm thinking, you know, it's not just the economy, because when we hear here in America what happened with the Chris Dodd and the Barney Frank, you know, men's hearts, what they wove in there is really one of the things that led to, unfortunately, the crisis that we're in. And I'm sure, Luca, over there in Italy, you know, y'all are having a hard time because there is a lot of corruption.
Oh, my God. Where do I start from here? Okay. Corruption, it always comes. I think it's part of human nature, obviously, to just have, you know, people tend to go where there is power and when there is money because they don't want to do their fair share of work in order to get the money. They want the easy way. So it's always like that. It's perfectly natural. So that's why government and constitutions should, you know, regulate that and should make that there is a way for, you know, controlling the urge of politicians and the special interests to get more power, more money, and more stuff. Unfortunately, not everywhere in the world people were wise enough to look at what was built in America and just imitate what was there, but they had to come up with something new. They had to come up with new rights, so-called right to, I don't know, you have the right to a house, you have the right to free health, you know, free healthcare, you have the right to a public pension, you have to all kinds of rights. Why? Because obviously, with one hand, they're offering you something, but with the other hand, they're taking away your freedom. They're taking away your money. They're taking away your self-respect because you're not the one in charge of your life. The government is. The government is supposed to regulate everything. That's why there is corruption. Corruption is there because all the power is concentrated in one single place. Washington in America, well, not exactly because there is state government and stuff, but, you know, people tend to have this idea. If we go there, we go where the money is. So that's why socialists, they want to control everything and they want to put it in one place because it's easier for them to get to the money pot. Instead, if the money was in our pockets, they will have to steal it. But that would be bad. That would be, that would mean that they are thieves. They don't want to look as thieves. They want our money. They want our freedom. But they don't want to look bad. They want to just say, oh no, we're doing this for your own good because you're so stupid.
You can't work with yourself. We have to teach you how to think. We have to teach you what to do. And then that's why we're taking away all your money. We've made a calculation. Well, obviously, the guys from the Istituto Bruno Leoni, which is a think tank, which is a kind of a classical liberal think tank, so of constitutionalists and stuff, they have made a calculation. They think that 70 to 75% of what every Italian citizen makes with his work is controlled by the government in one way or another, either through taxes or through healthcare costs or through public pension schemes. So actually what is left in your pocket is just 25%. And that's why there is so much corruption. Corruption comes because all the money and all the power is in one place. So that's why you go to Rome to get the money. And that's why everything is so corrupted. But that's why the Tea Party solution is completely different. Close the system. Close the entitlement programs. Close everything. Fire the public servants, which are not servants at all. They are our masters. They want to dictate what we do, how we do, when we do, everything. We want our freedom back. We want to be in charge of our lives. So we want our money back. And that's where the real fight is, because I think that most of the people in Italy, they still don't get it. They still don't get it that freedom is the only way to get out of this crisis, to get out of this huge mess that we're into. Freedom and liberty and responsibility, because liberty without responsibility means lisaity, so it means that you're free to do whatever you want. That would be chaos. We want responsibility for our lives, and that's what we're asking. It will be a tough fight. I think that we could make it. God willing, we will.
Amen.
Judge Moore, what's your perspective on what Luca just said?
Well, I agree with everything he said. I mean, that's human nature coming through when people give over to government as their God. When they look to government for everything, then they're actually making their government God. There's only two ways to go in this world. It's man's way or God's way. And we see Europe and the countries that once were so deep into faith, they've gone man's way. I'm not saying that everything they did back in the 1700s, 1800s, and 1600s was right. It's never been right, because man's nature has always been fallen. But only in God do we have freedom. And that's why we can understand that there is individual responsibility in God's law. God created a world where we were to work 6 days and on the seventh rest. And today we want to rest six, probably work one maybe. But it's just simply a distortion of an understanding of who's in control. If God's in control, then you don't look to government for everything. And when man is in control, then it's only natural to seek that security in man. And you never get it. What you get is tyranny. And they control everything, and that is tyranny. That's what our forefathers fought against in Great Britain. And they wanted freedom. And they realized that freedom comes from recognition that God gives us certain things, and government is not our God.
It seems like we were revisiting those days, aren't we, Don? I mean, when you think about what Barney Frank and Chris Dodd, and they're still up there, and you think, have people learned anything from those mistakes?
No. I mean, the short answer is no, in the sense that the Occupy Wall Street protesters are the very essence of how people have not learned all the mistakes that have happened and how they continue to happen, and that putting yourself and your future into this cult of personality rather than where you should be putting it in the faith and trust of your creator and in yourself, which is basically, you know, the founding documents of this country, was personal responsibility. And taking that to every part that means, that you, God created you, and, with this whole protesting thing that we see that they're doing, the occupation we see, it's exactly the very essence of everything we fight as a Tea Party. They want more entitlements. They, expect to be hand-delivered everything. And the astonishing thing is most of the people participating aren't people who have anything to lose. I think when you have something to lose, you actually start thinking more conservatively because it matters to you. If you have worked your behind off for your house to pay your mortgage or, you know, in your job to support your family, you know, those are things that you don't want to lose. These folks have no attachment to anything except being hand-delivered everything. And, you know, to me, it's the shining example, really, of everything we fight every day and have been fighting for 2.5 years, which is the overreach of government, the excess regulation, the fact that the federal government has reached out into every aspect of your life to almost ensure that you don't have to be personally responsible, which is, by the way, highlighted in these massive outpourings of people who are occupying spaces, public spaces, and just doing the most horrendous things while there, you know, and breaking the law. We're all about, the Tea Party is all about, we're a nation of laws for a reason. You know, man's free will sometimes not allow him to do what the right thing is. So we have created a nation of laws so that you pretty much understand what's right and wrong. If you don't get it from the Bible, we're going to show you, because we're a nation of laws, of what we considered right and wrong. And it is just an extraordinary thing to me to see groups of people all over this country now who are committed to some of the most bizarre demands. And on top of all of this stuff, the irony is everything they're complaining about is part of the current administration. The crony capitalism, the bailouts, the all these things, those are the people that you put into power and allowed to stay in power in this government. So, you know, they should be apologizing while they're out there to all of us for these people making such a bang zoom in government instead of out there, you know, crying out how horrible this country is. Because, frankly, here's my ultimate about all of this that drives me nuts. There is almost nowhere else in the world on this planet that they can do what they are doing without being harmed.
Yeah.
It's the very essence of what we are about as a nation that allows them, that gives them the free speech to go out there and do what they're doing.
Yeah, I hear with freedom comes responsibility, and these youngsters, oh my goodness. Well, Judge Moore, I know you've met Don Wildman. You got to visit them in California a while back, and I know that was a wonderful time. Would you like to add to or comment to what she has just stated?
I think, again, she's calling it right, and she understands that what's going on in Washington now represents the freedom that we have and that we ought to be thankful for. But people don't understand, as Mr. Luke pointed out, you know, when government starts creating rights, then they start taking away freedom. And that's a simple equation. It's God gives us our rights. When man started creating the right of privacy in the Supreme Court of the United States in 1965, they started talking about the right of privacy on Griswold versus Connecticut. Then they started taking away the right of people to live and be born, and the right to life in those that are unborn. And now they're creating rights to commit sodomy and change the definitions of marriage. And when you do without God, then all these definitions go to waste, because, you know, there is no definition of marriage. There is no definition of right or wrong, and man makes it up as he goes. So it's just a way government seizes power and men seize power by creating something that's enticing. The right of privacy, for example, sounds good, but what does it mean and what does it lead to? So Mr. Luke is right. Is basically they're creating rights, but they're really taking away freedom.
Well, I think of regulation. I saw an article about regulation doesn't really cost jobs, and they were giving facts. But I'm thinking a lot of people are fearful of what Obamacare regulations are going to do, so they're not hiring. But Luca, regulations in Italy and in Europe, what are your thoughts on that? Is it really costing jobs or not?
oh my God, it is not costing jobs, it's just costing our countries. Our countries are bankrupt. They are literally, I mean, just, I'm just making an example because probably it's simpler this way. So I'm a journalist. I'm still a journalist, but currently I'm living in London, United Kingdom, because that was the only place where I was able to find a job. Because I'm, okay, I'm white, I'm Christian, I'm conservative, I'm heterosexual, so I'm practically unemployable because I don't belong to any minority. So, of course, aside from that, that's just a joke, obviously, but in my country, it's practically impossible to get a job right now because there are so many regulations that is really stifling free market and competition. So to the point where, you know, corporations and industries, they cannot really hire anyone because they are giving the idea that, oh, yes, we don't want people to be fired. So we'll make it practically impossible for you to fire people. But they don't get that if it makes so difficult to fire someone because it's not good, because the company's not going great, because you have a problem, because the market has a downturn. Of course, if you make it impossible, those, you know, the business owner, they're not going to hire anyone because they say, yeah, okay, the times now are not so great. They could get worse. But if I cannot fire you, I cannot really, it will be a burden. So right now they have two choices. Either they go bankrupt or they just do everything they can with the people they have. This means lots and millions and tens of millions of jobs that are not created right now. And obviously you don't see it because this is just like Frédéric Bastiat used to say, this is the not seen. You see only government intervention, and every single time a politician says, oh, we created jobs, I would really, really like, not very Christian, I know, but I would really, really like to smack him in the face. You don't create anything. You are just subsidizing failing industries with our money. You're taking away money from our pockets to give it to some friend of yours, some crony capitalism, so some special interests that are just so well connected. So they are not creating jobs. When the government says, oh, no, we need more public spending in order to create jobs, this is complete baloney. It's not true. The only way to create jobs is through free market. And so you have to deregulate things. Unfortunately, it's very, very difficult to make people understand that because they've been brought up thinking that regulation is good, that the government is working for them. The government has got their, you know, their good interests at heart. But this is absolutely nonsense, because if you just go to the very, very basic, you think that if there is one force in the world that has created, you know, freedom and prosperity and stuff, this is capitalism. And capitalism works only if it's free to do what it does best. So create wealth, create profits, and create jobs. That's the only way you get. And in Europe right now, we've been poisoned by this socialist groupthink, and so everybody's got to think the same. So Steve Jobs goes to meet his creator, and everybody's so sad. But they're not telling you he was a great capitalist. He created really good products. People were buying
exactly.
And he made a, yeah, he made a truckload of money. No. Steve Jobs was good because he made people's lives better. And you think, no, that's not the point. He was a capitalist. He was doing it to make him money. And there is nothing wrong with it. My God, that's America. This is the American way. You make a good product, you make a lot of money, and you're happy. No. Socialist group things teaches you that profit is bad. Profit is really, really bad. Steve Jobs was a great man because he made everybody happy. Why was he? Santa Claus? He was a capitalist, for God's sake. Sorry about that, but he was
exactly,
a capitalist.
Luca.
He was there for the money.
Exactly, Luca. Couldn't agree with you more.
Well, Don,
it's the best example, really, right now, here today, to show that when I first heard he passed away, the first thing I said to my husband was, there is no other place that he would have been able to do what he did and make the living that he did and have that legacy that he did except America. Because any other place, the government would have owned his ideas, his inventions, his products. And he is the very essence of what it means to be an exceptional American and what freedom to produce is all about. The flip side of that is General Electric. So you have Jeffrey Immelt, who is big about how great GE is and how great they're doing. Yes, they are. In Brazil, they have left and moved almost everything off of offshore now because of the overregulation in the country and have said that. Here's a man who defends moving offshore by saying that, well, you know, if it wasn't for us, there would be tens of thousands of jobs lost in America. It's GE. If all you can boast about are tens of thousands of jobs, that's sad, because in Brazil, you practically own the country. And so, and talk about the crony capitalism that was reached there between himself and the current administration and the president. You know, they got very rich very quickly in a short period of time off of their association with the administration and the president. It's the very essence of crony capitalism, and it shows what happens, I think, highlights what happens with overregulation, that you can't even keep GE here, who's made a ton of money thanks to you.
Wow. Well, that should say it all right there.
Yeah, I really
can I make
really
one
like
more
that.
Comment about this? Can
sure,
I make one
ahead.
More comment? Because this drives me nuts. So Ben and Jerry's has come out with a big old attaboy to the protesters of Occupy Wall Street. Yeah, Ben and Jerry's aren't making ice cream in their garage. Ben and Jerry's in 2000 was sold to a very large company, and it is a major corporation now. This isn't two guys sitting around making homemade ice cream in their kitchen. This is a major corporation. They said attaboy because they don't want anybody knocking their stores over or coming after them. But it is exactly the idea of what happens with corporations who fear protesters, left protesters, more than the idea of what keeps them alive and employed in this country, which is free markets and capitalism.
I'd like to, well,
yeah, go ahead.
I'm sorry. Well, I was just thinking to myself that I saw in the news something about Obama. You know, he cannot get his jobs bill passed, so what's he going to do? He's going to talk to all his and try to find a way to get it done administratively. And Judge Moore, you know, we're hearing a lot of his use of executive orders and different ways really to manipulate the Constitution and the system. And I'm thinking, you keep doing that, it's going to be like a house of cards that's going to fall apart.
Well, it is. You've got to go, again, we talked about earlier about the restrictions and imposed by the Constitution on powers of different branches. And when you ignore that, then you do whatever you can get away with, and that's what Obama's doing. He's been doing that. This bombing of Libya is a perfect example. There's absolutely no authority for him to do that, and everybody in Congress and everybody in Washington knows that, but he got away with it. And he'll get away with whatever he's allowed to do because it's all about power in Washington, and the two branches are basically doing the same thing. That's the problem. Whether we elect Republicans or Democrats, seems like they do the same thing. Now, I certainly don't agree with the Obama administration, what they've done, but if you look back at the Bush administration, you see the avoiding the illegal immigration, illegal alien problem, I should say, coming into America, and it was avoided. Now it's a very big problem. And even the states have been restricted from enforcing laws for their own health, safety, and welfare because the federal government wants to do it all and government wants to ignore the 10th Amendment of the United States Constitution. So it's all about ignoring, you know, the Constitution and form of government you have. And I think it all goes back, what's the solution? Well, I think the solution is to recognize that there is a God. He does give us freedom, and government doesn't control everything, and there are certain restrictions on the Constitution. That's why across the world, our Constitution is recognized as a a very viable document and a good form of government.
Well, I'm going to let Ms. Barbara Moore in. And Ms. Barbara, are you still there?
Oh, I am. And our Constitution works if we will work it. You know, in talking about capitalism and free markets, they're based, the concept is based upon private property rights being protected. And, you know, there's our broken economy, our broken world, really. It's a reflection of brokenness where we've turned our back on God and His truths, the God who gives us our rights. And in looking at the Foundation for Moral Law website, underneath Foundation for Moral Law, it says defending our inalienable right to publicly acknowledge God. And I was thinking about that, and I thought, well, you know, if we don't do that, there is no basis, absolutely no basis for our personal property rights, our freedom of religion, our speech, without the acknowledgement of God by our nation. You know, it just becomes one man's or one group of men's opinion, like, you know, whether they can take 70% of our incomes or whatever they want to take, unless it is, we go back to the foundation. Judge Moore?
Well, I think that's right, Barbara, and I think that the foundation is there. It always has been there. We're just ignoring it. And until we get over this self-appreciation and appreciation of our human nature and thinking that government is all there is, then we're going to continue to suffer. One of the biggest faults that people make, and Christians in America today, is to believe that our freedom of worship comes from some constitution or some law or some Supreme Court. It comes from God, and the Supreme Court recognized that way back, that our freedom of what we believe comes from God, and that's a truth you can trace all the way back to the Bible. When Jesus said, render to Caesar the things that are Caesar, to God the things that are God's, he was basically saying that there are some things God didn't give government control over, one of which was what we think and believe. And so when they asked him, what thinkest thou, Master? They were trying to control and say that he couldn't even think of worshiping a sovereign God. And so we've got to go back to an understanding of the importance of God in our civilization.
Well, Judge Moore, I'd like to share some good news. Don and Luca, me and Ms. Barbara has been hearing this, and we are so excited because Alabama's parents are fed up. There's this national takeover of education called Common Core Standards, using national standards. And our own, one of our leaders, Lois Zina, with Alabama Republican Women Group, has really helped pass a resolution in the National Federation of Republican Women, and they are calling to defeat these national standards. And so we're getting a lot of I think that is starting a trend. We're hearing legislators now taking a stand. I think we heard about Dick Brubaker introducing a bill, and at the end of the bill, I think he's mentioning they're not going to fund it. So we're asking our own state Board of Education to rescind and get us out of this Common Core, which is really a national standard takeover of our schools. And, again, it's controlling thoughts, Judge Moore, through our education system.
And it's ignoring the Constitution, which gives no power to the federal government over the education of the children of this nation. That's the biggest problem. We've given over education to the government. We have every president running as an education president. We have one that says no child left behind. That's a Republican. And then we have one race to the top, and both of which are wrong. There is no power in the federal government to control the education of the children. That was to be left to the parents and under the authority of the states or under the authority of God and control of any regulations by the states, not by the federal government. And yet we as an American people have given that over to the federal government. When you do that, you're asking for an indoctrination into socialism, which is what they're having in Italy right now, as Mr. Luca has explained.
Yep. We've been having that actually for the last 70-plus years, because fascists and socialists, they are two sides of the same coin. They're all against freedom, and they're all for government control. So that's why we find it so hard to let people know what real freedom is all about. Because in America, you are very, very blessed, because you have the Constitution. You can always go back to the Constitution. The Constitution is there. It's a bedrock of wisdom. You can always go back, and you can always say, government, you're not supposed to be doing that, because the Constitution says so. Even if you have all the jurisprudence of the, constitutional scholars that would say otherwise, and they have, it's been 200 years they are trying to warp the meaning, the original meaning of the American Constitution, and they are making up so much stuff, and that's the big problem. But you can always go back. In Europe, we have nothing.
We can go back, but the problem is, we're being indoctrinated that it's a useless document anymore. You know, this program began right before it began with talking about our history. And that's one thing they're trying to remove by the Common Core standards. That's one thing that we've neglected is our history. And when you neglect history, you're bound to repeat the errors of the past. And that's what we're facing today. Yes, I agree that our Constitution, we do have it. The problem is we're ignoring it in both parties. And we've got to get back to an understanding of it and an understanding of freedom. And the only way to do that is to understand that government doesn't have all power. It doesn't have the power over education. It doesn't have the power to mandate health care systems, as Obama has chosen to do. Mm-hmm. And we've got to go back to an understanding of our history and our Constitution.
Yeah, I completely concur with Judge Moore. It's just the fact that going back to something which is, or at least it's supposed to be, the sacred foundation of the Republic, it's something different than having to just completely change the mindset of a whole population that right now, for the last 70-plus years, has been brought up with the idea that everything comes from the government. So it is, it's Americans, obviously, they know very well their own reality, and they think, oh, my God, we have such a monumental task in just, oh, my God, convincing people to go back to the Constitution. But just try to imagine if
no Constitution.
The Constitution was not there.
Yeah.
Oh, my God, this is the situation we're in. There is no Constitution. When they were trying to make up a Constitution for the European Union, they couldn't even agree on a very, very, very blunt definition of saying, yes, Europe was founded on Judeo-Christian, thought. They couldn't agree with that. They just said, no, this is racist. No, we shouldn't do that. And say, what? This is the basis. Yeah, go ahead. Sorry.
The problem we have is that there's a lot of people in America, a great majority, that don't appreciate our Constitution as much as you do. And that's the problem. We've got a constitution, but there is lack. I appreciate things that Don's doing and others are doing to bring back the knowledge of the Constitution. And it does seem like, as Barbara pointed out, that people are coming to a realization that government is not all-powerful, and that's exactly what the Tea Parties in America are about. It's much an acknowledgement that government is not our God. And basically, we've seen a great revolution in our country, and the hardest people to accept it are the political parties. And they want to adopt it and to co-opt it, but they don't want to go by its basic principles. And until we get to that point, we're going to continue to suffer, but at least people are waking up.
I don't think people understand either the Constitution fully until they understand the men that were brought together for that purpose. I don't think that you truly understand. There's always talk, especially from the left and actually Europeans as well, about how the Constitution is a living document. And we all of us on this call know that is not only not true, but that even most Americans don't really truly have a good understanding of if they're even being taught about the Constitution, because I think you truly need to understand where those men were, what they were thinking about, what was important to them. The Second Amendment is one of those issues that is constantly looked at in a light that wasn't the intent. And so I think as people are not just learning even about the founding documents of this country, but about those men that got together, that prayed together often during that process, that turned it over to a higher power because they knew what they were doing was so important. When you start understanding what was important and the common thread through each of those men and the part they played, there is no longer any misunderstanding of the Constitution and its intent and what it was supposed to do. But as you have pointed out, Diana, on this show so many times, California couldn't wait to sign up to anything that hands over the keys to the castle to the federal government, because the less we have to do, we figure, is better for us, which is just an extraordinary attitude from a sovereign state. But, you know, the implementation of things like this, and it is a correct word to say indoctrination, because we really are dumbing down our kids. We're teaching them what somebody else's, a particular political and religious philosophy, you know, by where they don't have one. Remember, religion is the opiate of the masses, so we have to get rid of that first. They're bringing these kids up, and like I said about the OWS, Occupy Wall Street, you're seeing this in action. You're seeing the folks that have no clue what they're there for, why they're there. They have no indication of really the reality of where the country is politically or economically. All they know is that, you know, they're out there doing, you know, supposedly this great thing to help the country. And one of the other ironies to this is those that were doing it in the 60s are now running your government today. The Bill Ayers, you know, the Valerie Jarretts of the world. These are the people that came up through that process the last go-round. And so now they're out there supporting it, and I'm sure financially and other ways, obviously, in the media. So I think this is a shining example of what happens when you start getting rid of your own history. If you learn nothing from history, you're destined to repeat it. And unfortunately, the flip side for us is really bad. If we want to know what it looks like by allowing people like that to move forward and to not shine a light and be transparent when they won't, look at Italy. Look at Greece. Look at Spain. At any point, let alone right now. The best part about the Italian Tea Party isn't even just the fact that they are shining a light of what their government does, but they are the beacon for the picture of after if you do nothing.
Right, and I do think that what Mr. Luca has said should inspire us in America, because, and I understand his point, we have the Constitution. They did not have a document to restrict this power, and they've naturally grown into what has become a tyrannical government that tries to control everything. But we do have a Constitution, and we ought to be very grateful for it. And, you know, I looked recently at my schedule book, and in our little daily schedules printed in New York, daily schedulers, monthly planners or whatever, they have all these holidays for Mexico independence, Mexican Revolution, Mexican Constitution, and on September 17th, they make no mention of Constitution Day. And that's simply exemplary of what's going on in our country. There's an attempt to eliminate what the Constitution means, and to say it's a living document or not a living document is to admit it's a dead document. We've got to understand what they meant by living. They mean that it changes like they suppose human nature changes, and therefore it's not viable anymore. But the point is, human nature does not change because it's fallen from the grace of God, and therefore the Constitution, which restricted that human nature, is as viable today as it was yesterday or 200 years ago. It is.
Oh, amen. Amen to that.
It is living in the fact that it does not change because human nature does not change. It is not a dead document. But they've co-opted the language already so that they've got us saying, oh, it's not living. Well, if it's not living, it's dead. Now, I understand what they mean by living, and what they mean by living is wrong. It does not change because human nature does not change, and human nature will not change. So that's what we've got to understand, that the Constitution is very viable today as it was then. In its form of government, unfortunately, Italy does not have that document to go back to. They can't go back to something that divided the powers among three branches and gave checks and balances on those branches and then restricted the federal government. The powers not delegated to the United States by the Constitution nor prohibited by it to the states are reserved to the states respectively or the people. We've got to recognize why that 10th Amendment, which has states' rights, is a good thing. But we've let them say that's all about the civil rights era. It's not. It was about states controlling the health, safety, and welfare of its citizens. And like in Arizona, when they're trying to restrict illegal aliens coming in, they're trying to do the right thing, and then the federal government sues them and doesn't do their job in protecting our borders. It's all wrong because it's wrong under the Constitution. They should have the right to protect the health, safety, and welfare of their citizens. Mm-hmm. But we've got to go back. We should be very inspired by what Mr. Luca says. We do have a Constitution. And we, you know, have something to fall back on. And the more we can recognize its viability, the better off we will be.
You know, I just have one little addition to what Judge Moore was saying. If you want to realize how really, really viable and alive is the American Constitution, think about that. If it was such a dead document, why the hell would the socialists of the world hate it so much? They hate it with all their hearts because it's the only thing that is between them and complete world domination. America is hated by globalists and socialists all over the world because it's their only obstacle between them and complete power. They are all about power. They are always craving power. When you were talking about GE saying, oh, you know, we are so good, and they are delocalizing jobs, and they're moving them abroad. When you're talking about Ben and Jerry, that they're going there, it's all calculated. They're always doing it for a purpose because they want to get the money of the useful idiots. Stalin used to call them this way, useful idiots. Those guys that are there in the Occupy Wall Street, they are either consciously or unconsciously working for their own enslavement, for their own destruction, because they don't know any better, or because they are just, you know, rich kids that are going to college, because I've seen on the Daily Mail around here that most of them, they were going to prep schools, they were going to really expensive colleges, $50,000 a year colleges, and they were just going there and saying, oh yeah, let's make the revolution, so fun, because it's fashionable. Left fashionable. What the hell is wrong with these kids? $50,000 a year, and they go there in the park doing nothing. Obviously, with their iPhone, their iPad, their, you know, expensive clothes, and so on. $300 shoes. I don't have $300 shoes. I work for a living. I'm a journalist. I make a pretty good living, but I don't spend $300 on a pair of shoes. And those 20-year-old kids, they have them on their feet. And this is supposed to be the movement that is going to change America. If you want to find the movement that is going to transform not only America to the world, come to any Tea Party meeting you have. Anyone, you'll find real people. They really do want to change the world. This is what is going to happen. In with or without the liberal media, we're going to make it. I truly believe that. God willing, we will make it.
Oh, yes, amen, Luca. I'm with you.
Amen.
Thank you for that. And I'd like to put in a scripture, if I may. It's in Mark chapter 12, 42-43. And he called unto him his disciples and saith unto them, verily I say unto you that this poor widow hath cast more in than all they which have cast into the treasury. And I think about all the people, rich, poor, whatever, widows, that are putting their money, what little bit they have done, into the tea parties, not just here in America, but with Luke and them. They're not the rich elite leaders of, you know, these nations. They're a lot of them, a majority of them, are hardworking people searching for truth, trying to find a way to help their nations. And I'm so thankful, Luca, you got to come on today, because yesterday was about Columbus and what he did for the world. And so I'm excited for what you and David Mazzarella and the rest of you are doing, really not just for Italy, because I'm hearing that you're also reaching out in other countries, European countries, and Australia. So this is like, you know, a spark, and I'm so grateful for Don.
Australia, I'm really thankful for that. The Australian guys, they're really amazing. They're really working very hard to bring down the socialist government that they have. They want to impose carbon tax on that. They have big rallies, big fights. David Goodrich is a very, very good friend of ours, a very good friend of all of Tea Party Patriots and most of the Tea Party movement. He is doing a great job. All the other guys are doing a wonderful job. I would really like to give a shout out to the guys down under, which are really making a difference. And you will know about them very, very soon, because they are going to change the world as well.
Well, we're excited. And, you know, there is unity. There is unity. And it is unfortunate, you do not have the Constitution like we have. But Ms. Barbara, just like yesterday when you were sharing the story of Columbus, you know, I am so thankful for what you said about him, about where really, who led him, what led him. And if you don't mind, share with them about what he used for navigation.
He said it was simply the Holy Spirit, the fulfillment of what the Holy Spirit had prophesied. He said, I made no use of my navigational tools. It was the fulfillment of the Holy Spirit prophesying in Isaiah, where Christ would be brought to the unknown lands. I believe it's Isaiah 46. And Columbus carried with him on that voyage a Bible, a printed Bible. And he was a Bible scholar, and he loved the Lord. He had great faith in Christ. In fact, Luca, he was a Franciscan layman. He was St. Francis. And his first sentence in his logbook was, "In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ." There was a cross on every sail on those three ships: the Nina, the Pinta, the Santa Maria. There's a large crimson red cross for the blood of Christ on those white sails as they sailed into the unknown, but discovering the new world. And he planted the cross. They fell to their knees on the first land, and as they stepped ashore, they planted that cross. And he named the first one San Salvador, for, as he said, our blessed Savior, Holy Savior. San Salvador meaning Holy Savior. So from the very beginning, and it was an Italian, it was a man from Genoa that had the courage and the great faith.
Ms. Barbara, would you mind also remind him about the 7 years when it was so hard for Christopher Columbus and what happened? That providence, that God's hand.
Well, you know, he did try. He and his brother Bartholomew tried for 7 years, going to the kings of Europe and trying to share his vision and his dream. And so, you know, at the end of which he was brokenhearted. He was a broken man, really. And he came to the monastery of Ravida, and there he confessed his brokenness and just poured out his heart to one of the monks there, a priest. And just so happened that this priest also was Queen Isabella's confessor, and he sent a message immediately to Queen Isabella, saying that he believed that God's hand was upon this man, and his dream and his vision was real, and would she please listen to him one more time? And so she sent for him immediately, and the rest is history, as we say.
And
wow.
It just so happened, but that was God's providence, wasn't it?
That's right. That's right.
God is good. good. Well, we're almost to the end of the show. Oh, go ahead, Judge Moore.
You know, one thing Mr. Luca pointed out again that I think many people don't here in our country don't understand. I think he's very wise in some of his observations. There is a world order trying to seize power across the globe. And the Constitution of the United States does stand as an obstacle. That is the reason it's being trying to, they're trying to tear it down by unlawful treaties, by foreign law and the United States Supreme Court and other things. They have got to remove our allegiance to that document. That's why there is no Constitution Day. That's why there is no understanding of how important that document is. That's why they call it a living Constitution, because it changes and our nature changes, therefore it's changed and it's no good anymore. All those things are being done because it stands as a block, and that has been put there by God. And it reminds me of what Benjamin Franklin said, and I don't think you probably got time, but anyway, in the Constitutional Convention about have we forgotten this powerful friend. I'll stop there.
Well, we have time, Judge Moore. We have time, Judge Moore. Go ahead and add some more, and I'm going to ask everyone to get their closing thoughts.
Have we forgotten that powerful friend, or do we imagine we no longer need his assistance? I have lived a long time, sir, and the longer I live, the more convincing it proves I see of this truth, that God governs in the affairs of men. And if a sparrow cannot fall to the ground without his notice, is it probable that an empire can rise without his aid? We've been assured, sir, in the sacred writings that except the Lord build a house, they labor in vain that build it. I firmly believe this. I also believe that without his concurring aid, we shall succeed in this political building no better than the builders of Babel. We shall be divided by our little partial local interest. Our projects will be confounded, and we ourselves shall become a reproach and a byword down to future ages. And what is worse, mankind may hereafter, from this unfortunate experience, despair of establishing governments by human wisdom and leave them instead to war, chance, and conquest. You see, that's not what they did. They didn't leave it to war, chance, and conquest. They established it upon the knowledge of God and his supreme authority, and the government was restricted and powers restricted. And that's what they did, and we should turn back to it.
Amen.
Thank you, Judge Moore. I'm going ahead and going to ask a word from each of you. I'm going to go start with Don. For those that are listening, Don, and what would you like for them to take from this conversation that hopefully will encourage them?
Well, excuse me, just this. There are a lot of people working, not only in this country, but many countries that are fighting back for the founding principles. And it is important that if you feel, you know, helpless and that things are out of control and you're afraid of the future, then come to us. Because we are doing everything we can to fight for the heart and soul of this country, and that is creating a ripple effect everywhere. Because ultimately what man really wants is freedom. Man does best under the governing of himself and in a free country. So I think what's important is that, you know, we are trying very hard. We are winning a lot of the battles. And the fact that the one that we currently see going on with the Occupy Wall Street is very much proof that the oppositions to us, while many, are really desperate. And so, you know, we keep plugging away, and we do it in a lawful manner, and we respect the country, we respect property, we respect police. So it's quite the antithesis of everything that we see happening now. So if somebody wants to, you know, come and join us, we always need more help. Just go to the teapartypatriots.org website, and there's probably a tea party in your local town, and join up, because I think we are, as Lucas said, we are the thing that will save this country and other countries.
Indeed, Don. When y'all left Washington, D.C., you left it better than it was.
Amen.
And Luca, what would you like to say? What do you hope that the listeners would take out of this conversation today?
Well, of course, try to treasure what you have. Try to know your history. Know where your country comes from if you're listening from America. If you're listening from any other place in the world, look around. If you look very hard, it's not easy to find. There are tens of tea parties going on around the world. You have them in Poland. You have them in the Netherlands. You have them in Argentina. You have them in Austria, in Israel. So many other countries, they're trying to work then in Spain and so on, in Canada, definitely, Australia, of course, and then Italy. If you know somebody coming from Italian ancestry, tell him to go to teapartyitalia.it. It's our website. Send us an email. We have so many local groups that are organizing right now. We are organizing a big gathering the 26th of November in Rome and Milan, who is going to ask for more freedom and less government intervention. This is going to be a massive event. You have, you know, buses organized from all over the country. They're going to go there. We have to be, I don't really hope, I don't even dare to pray that we are as many as there were in those fateful July in Washington. I really hope that we are going to make something big, because we are really, really working very hard. And so that's what I really would like listeners to say. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Luca. God bless you. Oh, Miss Barbara, I'm going to turn this over to you, and if you don't mind, to pray for our nation, the nations of the world, really, and those that spoke here with us today. And we always ask the listeners to please share the podcast of this show with your friends and family throughout the country and the world, so that they can come and learn with us. Go to www.cityonahill.tv. And Ms. Barbara, if you don't mind, I'll turn it over to you.
Okay, thank you, Diana. You know, I was thinking, I heard somewhere, sometime, a statement that went something like this: wherever truth is heard and given a fair hearing, truth will prevail. And I was thinking about the truth that has been presented here on this radio show today, and I pray that many, many will hear it. I was also thinking about how the Founding Fathers were all about their posterity, wanting the blessings of liberty, not only for themselves, but their posterity. And I hear that with the Tea Party people as well. About us. It's about the future for our children and our grandchildren, and desiring the freedom and the blessing for them. So let's pray together. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, that we can come before you, O God, our Creator, our Redeemer, the Holy One. Father, we bring all of this before you, O Lord. We ask, Father, that your will be done on earth, Lord. Your will be done on earth. And Father, we know that your will is good. Your will is freedom. Your will is opportunity. Your will is blessing, Father. And we pray that this day, Father. We thank you, Lord, for all those that you are teaching, Lord, about the truth, Father. We pray for a rebirth, a renaissance of truth, not only in this nation, but throughout the world. We pray, Father, for boldness of utterance, as the Apostle Paul prayed, because he knew you, Father, and he knew the truth. And he spoke with boldness. Father, we remember David saying, "I believed, therefore I spoke." Father, we thank you for the ability to speak out boldly for truth. And we pray, Father, that there will be more and more, Lord, increasing numbers to hear the truth, to love the truth, Father, that we would have a love of the truth and not be easily deceived, and that we would learn our history, Father, the blessing of our history that you have given us throughout all time, Lord. And we pray, Father, for a turning to you, O God, the source of all wisdom, the source of life, the source of truth, and turning our hearts and minds back, that you, Father, would be able to fulfill your plan and your purpose. And we thank you, Lord, for all our guests. We ask your blessing upon them, O God, their families, in everything they do, Father, wherever the soles of their feet touch, whatever it touches, Father, that you would bless it with your presence, your power, your provision, and your protection. And we love you, O God, so much. And we desire others to know you and love you as well, and we pray for this. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
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 Amen. Goodbye, everyone. Thank you for being with us on this show. Please share it. May God bless you and shine his face upon you. Thank you for listening to City on the Hill. Goodbye.